This is UW News live from Berlin. New rules as the second COVID wave washes over Europe. Germany plans measures to slow the surge. Officials warn daily cases could near 20,000 by week's end. We'll see which restrictions are on the horizon as Chancellor Angela Merkel prepares for crisis talks with state leaders. Also on the program, Amy Coney Barrett is sworn in as U.S. Supreme Court Justice. A boost for the court's conservative majority and a controversial political win for President Trump. And fertile ground, the U.S. conspiracy theory that's thriving here in Germany. The so-called QAnon movement picks up steam and is growing concern that it's fueling right-wing extremism. I'm Leila Hark. Thank you so much for your company, everyone. Well, we start our broadcast here in Germany, where millions are bracing for some strict new rules aimed at slowing the spread of COVID-19. The country is seeing a big surge in infections. The economy minister warning today that new daily cases could approach 20,000 by the end of the week. Tomorrow, Chancellor Angela Merkel and state leaders will reveal just which restrictions they plan to impose. Meanwhile, ordinary Germans are preparing for life under a so-called lockdown light.
Bergmannstraße in Berlin's Kreuzberg district. This is one of 10 busy streets in the German capital where people now have to wear a face mask. Germany has seen record numbers of coronavirus cases and Berlin has been particularly hard hit. Now all 12 districts here are considered hotspots.
Pressure is growing here in Germany for politicians to introduce new, stricter measures against the coronavirus, especially as numbers continue to grow. This is something that is being debated on a daily basis here in Germany, both on the streets but also in the German press. The latest topic to be discussed is the possibility of introducing a so-called lockdown light.
Under this proposal, which is reportedly favoured by Chancellor Merkel, schools and daycare would remain open except in the worst hit areas. Restaurants and bars would have to shut and large events would be banned. So far, most bars and restaurants have to close only between 11 p.m. and 6 a.m. For many Berliners, new measures are necessary, even if they mean fewer freedoms. But others are more sceptical.
We all have to give ourselves a push now and see that it goes in the right direction. The numbers are always going up, so you have to do your part to make them go down again.
I hope that we will be spared, but unfortunately we can't rule this out completely. Although I'm not sure if it will really help to contain the pandemic. I assume that there will be new measures. There's nothing you can do about it. We have to get the infection under control.
New restrictions are expected on Wednesday after Chancellor Merkel meets with Germany's 16 regional leaders.
All right, let's get you more now on these developments. Nina Hasse is standing by. Nina, first of all, talk to us about this meeting that is about to get away or is already underway. What can we expect from that?
Well, it's going to take place tomorrow. Angela Merkel is going to try and press the country's 16 state premiers to agree on new restrictions under what's been dubbed a lockdown light. And that strategy would basically work with two tools. One would be to continue to have strict lockdowns in districts wherever infection rates are skyrocketing. Currently in Germany, we have two districts in Bavaria that are experiencing that life is standing still there because of high infection rates. And two, nationwide, some new restrictions would be implemented in concrete terms. Pubs and restaurants would close again, much like in the spring. Events would be cancelled and opening times for shops would be limited. The government have so far always said that they're going to try and avoid to close schools and kindergartens at all cost. But of course, that remains to be seen. They're already closed in those two districts in Bavaria. And of course, pub and restaurant owners are already warning that many of them won't survive in the long term if they have to close now. And they say that their hygiene concepts are working. They shouldn't be punished. So it is going to be a very tough meeting. That's also what the Bavarian state premier, Markus Söder, has said.
Nina Hasse reporting. Thank you. I want to update you now with the other stories making news around the world. Thousands have rallied in Bangladesh in the biggest anti-French demonstration since President Macron defended cartoons depicting the Prophet Muhammad. Macron spoke out after the murder of a French teacher who showed the sketches in the class, while many Muslims around the world have condemned his remarks. Opposition lawmakers in Poland have disrupted proceedings in parliament in protest at tighter abortion laws. Members waved placards backing a woman's right to choose. Pro-choice activists have also taken to the streets to oppose a court ruling amounting to a near-total ban on abortion. Vietnam has begun evacuating more than 500,000 people from coastal areas in the path of a powerful tropical storm. Typhoon Molave is set to make landfall with strong winds and 10-meter-high waves. The storm has already caused serious damage in the Philippines. Authorities in Orange County, California, have ordered tens of thousands of residents to evacuate their homes as wildfires rage across scrubland dried out by drought. High winds are fanning the flames. Firefighters are still battling to contain the blaze. We stay in the U.S., where the confirmation of Amy Coney Barrett to the U.S. Supreme Court has ushered in a conservative majority for years to come. The Senate approved the nomination by 52 votes to 48. Barrett's appointment was strongly opposed by Democrats.
After a month in the spotlight, she finally got to say these words.
So help me God.
Judge Amy Coney Barrett is heading to the U.S. Supreme Court.
It's a privilege to be asked to serve my country in this office, and I stand here tonight truly honored and humbled.
President Donald Trump was on hand to celebrate one of his signature achievements, locking in a conservative majority on the Supreme Court for many years to come.
This is a momentous day for America, for the United States Constitution, and for the fair and impartial rule of law.
Coney Barrett took her oath at the White House after the majority Republican-controlled Senate confirmed her nomination. One Republican voted against it. Democrats strongly opposed the confirmation, saying a Supreme Court justice shouldn't be appointed this close to an election.
Ms. Collins, Mr. Coons.
Let the record show that tonight the Republican Senate majority decided to thwart the will of the people and confirm a lifetime appointment to the Supreme Court in the middle of a presidential election.
Opponents of Coney Barrett's nomination say it paves the way for conservative rulings on abortion rights, health care, and LGBTQ rights. Coney Barrett vowed that she will remain independent.
The oath that I have solemnly taken tonight means at its core that I will do my job without any fear or favor, and that I will do so independently of both the political branches and of my own preferences.
She'll take the second of her two oaths on Tuesday at a private ceremony, which will allow her to begin official duties at the Supreme Court.
Let's turn now to a U.S. conspiracy theory that has found fertile ground here in Germany, the so-called QAnon movement. Its central and false theory is that U.S. President Donald Trump is battling a global cabal of pedophiles. But in Germany, the movement has evolved to draw in a mix of French thinkers as well as ordinary citizens opposed to coronavirus restrictions. And there's growing alarm that the QAnon conspiracy could be a boon to the far right.
This apartment block in Berlin is supposedly where one of Germany's leading figures in the QAnon conspiracy theory movement lives. He's a programmer who calls himself Resignation Anon online. A German news crew came here to ask him why he spreads the theories. But over the building intercom, he tells them they've got the wrong person. Later, however, he posts several of the news crew's messages, saying, "They've written to me yet again." It's not proof, but evidence of his identity.
Resignation Anon is an account that was involved in the German-speaking movement from day one and created the technical basis for its operation, set up its infrastructure, and translated the information from English into German. That means that working in the background, he is actually rather pivotal in keeping the movement alive and maintaining the flow of information. Resignation Anon makes the conspiracy messages easily accessible to his 130,000 followers on the messenger service Telegram and his website. The movement was spawned in a dark corner of the internet. Its core theories claim that the political elite and Jewish business owners kidnap children so they can drink their blood and secretly rule the world. Believers say only U.S. President Donald Trump can stop the plot. Throughout the presidential campaign, Trump followers have openly admitted to being part of QAnon. In Germany, the coronavirus crisis and protests against restrictions appear to be behind the movement's popularity. I consider the QAnon movement to be extremely dangerous because it links together so many branches of conspiracy theory myths and so many different groups who otherwise would never have anything to do with each other, which have QAnon and anti-Semitism as a bond, which is absolutely subversive and dangerous. The deadly consequences which conspiracy theories can have could be seen in the attack on a synagogue in the German city of Halle a year ago, in which two people were shot dead, or in the town of Hanau in February, where 10 people were killed. In both, the attackers believed in conspiracy theories. Germany's intelligence services say they're looking into whether QAnon's activities are criminal. It's not clear how many followers QAnon has in Germany, but alongside right-wing extremists, it also influences people who otherwise don't have radical views.
Moments ago, I had the opportunity to speak to Jacob Gould, who researches extremism at the London-based Institute for Strategic Dialogue. I asked him why the QAnon conspiracy theory is gaining ground in Germany.
Generally, we can monitor through our research that there's been an increasing interest in conspiracy theories and QAnon foremost among them since the beginning of the pandemic. And you really have to ask yourself, sort of, what's the function that these kinds of conspiracy theories fulfill? And it's the crisis and the introduction of the lockdown measures has really led to a loss of control for many people, significant changes to their everyday life. And conspiracy theories provide very easy explanations for why this happens. They name clear scapegoats, whether it be Bill Gates, whether it be Angela Merkel. And therefore, they also essentially suggest very easy solutions. You need to really get rid of these people. You need to sort of uncover their wrongdoings and bring them to justice. It really simplifies the process. You don't have to think about looking for a vaccine anymore. You don't have to think about the difficult trade-offs that currently have to be discussed in terms of the public health situation. It becomes a much simpler story, and therefore these conspiracy theories like QAnon really have a re-empowering function in a moment where people feel a loss of control.
Jacob Gould there, discussing the growing popularity of QAnon here in Germany. We're going to transition to sports now, and a soccer club in conservative Mexico that is working toward greater inclusion for the LGBTQ community. Well, the team is tackling stereotypes and showing discrimination. The red card.
Sometimes a team has to create its own enthusiasm and build from there. These are members of Mexico City's football club called the Mushes, and they are building themselves up along with the rest of the LGBT community. They're doing it in a country where a vast majority of people are practicing Catholics, where football is the number one sport as played by straight men.
Rompimos muchos paradigmas.
We're breaking many stereotypes because soccer has always been seen as a game for heterosexual men. In fact, we played in heterosexual tournaments and were always discriminated against. But we knew how to get through it. The Mushes are named after the indigenous transgender women who've been part of southern Mexican culture for hundreds of years. Their black uniforms are adorned with a rose and a soccer ball, and have slowly gained prominence. Shoe giant Nike has come on board as a sponsor. In a heterosexual team, you can't be who you really are. When you get to an LGBT team, it's completely different. It's an inclusive team. You feel comfortable. You're not discriminated against. Next up for the Mushes within the LGBT community, growth to include more lesbians, gays, bisexuals, and transgender people. A training center will open this coming spring, meaning more chances for more roses to bloom.
All right, that does it for me. Thank you so much for watching. I'll be back.